No, never.
God would have to ask me personally. Okay, part two, Isha Upanishad in Mayapur on, what's today's date? 25th January 2010. We're looking, we did invocation, now we're doing mantras 1 through 3. Yes?
Just ask something about the cross of death. I just thought, when you said now about the little light that goes on when you experience these feelings, also earlier you spoke about this feeling of incompleteness that people have in material life, and how it can also, you can also find that in Krishna consciousness, where you can say, only if I achieve this, I will be Krishna conscious, only if I achieve that. How do you deal with that in, when you in your devotional life?
Burjan Prabhu says that you should say, only if I love Krishna, instead of only if I got to this place, only if I got this thing. If you're looking at something external and saying, if only I had that, then I'd be Krishna conscious, then say, wait, stop, and say, wait a minute. If only I was Krishna conscious, then I'd be happy. Then I'd be satisfied. Then I'd have peace. Then I'd have this. But also, when you feel frustrated, depressed, hopeless, overwhelmed, sad, angry, fearful, and our first reaction is usually to try to fix the situation or fix the other person or persons. That's usually our reaction. Stop and say, what spiritual need am I trying to meet materially? Am I trying to meet a need for understanding, for appreciation, for communication, for interdependence? Beauty doesn't just mean personal beauty, it means beauty in your surrounding. Am I thinking that this person or this circumstance is going to meet that need? I say, wait a minute. The reason that I need that is I'm a soul. How can I connect with Krishna now to get that need met? How can I connect with Krishna now? When you start doing that all the time, you become free. You'll become free of the modes of nature. You'll become free of the material miseries. You'll no longer, all these things Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll no longer be dependent on auspicious or inauspicious circumstances. As he says, you'll no longer be dependent on the ordinary course of events. Because materialistic people are trying to meet their needs with those things, with other living beings, with the ordinary course of events, with trying to make everything auspicious. Obviously, you want to make things auspicious for your service, but that's not the source of your satisfaction. The source of your satisfaction, the source of your completeness. We were saying the other day, Prabhupada said in the purport, the living entity feels full. Full means overflowing. Not just full, but overflowing. You have to practice. At first, doing these things will seem artificial and difficult, and oh yeah, that's what I need to do. After a while, it will become part of you. Okay, mantra one. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is animate, has relation with the word animal, means life. An inanimate object is like this table, and an animate object is like me, I'm animate. Animate also means moving. Think about animation, like cartoons. Animated, they move, yeah. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota. One should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So we have our picture for these verses. Our quota is given to serve the Lord. Our future is black if we simply hoard. Boy, again, you know, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Just don't have time. Time is run away. So, Ishya Vashya. Ishya means the Lord, the controller. Pada Prakriti, the spiritual energy is animate and upper, everything. Spiritual, material energy is both owned and controlled by the Lord. So everything is either the spiritual energy or the material energy. Therefore, everything is Krishna's property. Okay, very nice explanation of what is sin. Deliberate disobedience. Deliberate. I'm choosing to do things in opposition to Krishna. One way I like to think about this, I like to think about that sat or sattva means not only goodness and eternality, but also truth. Truth. And that sin is anything that is false. It's anything that's false. And therefore it brings suffering. The example I often give is, instead of drinking the water, if I try to eat the cup, I will suffer. Because my body cannot digest a mezzo cup. That's false. If I say this cup is food, that's false. The cup exists, I exist, but if I say the cup is food, that is false. And that brings me suffering. So whenever I do something that's false, I have suffering. And whenever I do, whenever I'm in harmony with the truth, then there's no suffering. So many times people think of sin as just like a list of rules of things you're not supposed to do that some, you know, mean God made up so that you wouldn't have any fun in life. But basically it's just a list of things that are not food. These things are not food for the soul. Yes?
Deliberate?
Deliberate means intentional, knowing. Our being here in this material world, our being immaterial consciousness, is a knowing, purposeful choice. And by the way, it's not just a choice that we made billions of years ago, but it's a choice that we're making at every moment.
Can I ask?
Probably. I'm worried about time.
Maybe later.
And part of the way that we're acting in harmony with the truth is acting as if everything belongs to God. Now, you can only act as if everything belongs to God if you have a philosophy that is a chinta beta beta tattva, where you see that both everything is connected with God and God is separate from everything. If everything's connected with God, then it can belong to Him. And if it's separate from Him, it can belong to Him. If everything is only Him, it can't belong to anybody. And if He's separate from it, it can't belong to Him. Have you followed that? If God is just everywhere, and He's us separate, then nothing can belong to Him, because He's just everywhere. And if He's only separate, then nothing can belong to Him, because He's separate. So in order for everything to belong to Him, there has to be both immanence and transcendence. Everything has to be connected with Him, and everything has to be connected with Him. Okay? So everything belongs to God. I have my quota. All the toys in the house belong to mommy and daddy, but they let one child play with these toys and another child play with these toys. How do we know they all belong to mommy and daddy? Because mommy and daddy can take them away if you misuse them. You can say, okay, Sita Dasi has these toys and Jiva Das has these toys, but mommy and daddy can take them all away. So we could say, you have this sari and I have that sari and you have this, but Krishna can take it all away. And that's the biggest evidence that it's not our property. Krishna can take it all away anytime He wants. He doesn't even have to give us a warning.
So Bhagavad communism is that everything belongs to God.
Yes. So we see two kinds of Maya. One is the renounced Maya, everything belongs to nobody. And we've seen this in many, many, many temples where they don't take care of the car because it's nobody's car. You know, honestly, that was what was happening here too with the cleaning. We're not going to clean here because it's nobody's room. It doesn't belong to anybody. And the householder Maya is, I take very nice care because it's mine. So two kinds of Maya. I take very good care, but I take very good care because it's mine. There's a saying, ownership turns sand into gold. If it's yours, you take good care of it. And the renunciate's Maya is, it's nobody's. It's not mine, but it's not anybody else's either. Why take care? So actual Krishna consciousness is, I take first class care, but because it's Krishna. Even you take good care of your body, because it's not your body. It's not your body. If you neglect your body, that's the same thing as neglecting to clean this room or neglecting to take care of a car. That's renunciation in the mode of
ignorance.
Ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
it's material, therefore I shouldn't do it. See, everything's Krishna's. My life breath is Krishna's. My ability is Krishna. It's Krishna. It's not just Krishna's, it's Krishna. Krishna says, I'm the life breath, I'm the ability, I'm the intelligence. And boy, would I love to take something and meditate on how it's Krishna right now, but we're not going to do it. So we can take what's our quota and something which we could do a whole exercise on, and maybe we'll do it tomorrow, but I doubt it, would be to discuss how do we figure out what we need? How do we figure out what's our quota and what we need? Because need is not just what you need absolutely to stay alive. Sometimes Prabhupada will say to keep body and soul together. It's also what you need to be peaceful. Like Prabhupada will talk about the purpose of marriage is so people will be peaceful. It's what you need to be peaceful so that you can go ahead and do your service. What sweets do you need to give your mind so it will be quiet and leave you alone? Very, very seriously. You know, like a little child is causing some disturbance and you give them a sweet so they'll be quiet. And basically, Prabhupada said sense gratification is like salt. You shouldn't have too little or too much. So that each of us, until we're on a very, very advanced platform, each of us needs some facility that's beyond just the bare, absolute bare bones, you know, like two saris.
Why is it then so important, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, to reduce and reduce and reduce?
That should come naturally.
But like, why is Lord Chaitanya especially pleased by that?
He was pleased by that.
The blanket and the
That depends. I'd say that depends. Yeah. You know, Raghunath Das Goswami reduced, but we don't find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally did that at all. Except when Ramchandra Puri was there. Yes, he was, but he didn't personally do that. Nor did all the devotees do that. Some did.
Why was he pleased?
Because he wants different devotees to set different kinds of examples. Raghunath Das Goswami particularly set an example of renunciation. Haridas Thakur particularly set an example of chanting. And also, those were persons that were in a particular order of life.
So we aim for
that? That depends. I mean, we don't see that Srila Prabhupada ate like Raghunath Das Goswami at all. Prabhupada ate quite nicely, in fact. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada didn't even do a full fast on Nikadasa. So that depends. That depends on you. What ashram are you in? You know, what ashram are you in? What varna are you in? What is your nature? What is your nature? If you have a Vaishya nature, if you're a Vaishya grihasta, then it's your service to generate wealth for the whole society.
So
that's your service. And probably you'll want to live in a nice house, so you won't have the impetus to do that.
So what was it, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased then?
Because they were, A, in a renounced ashram.
Yeah.
And they were acting properly according to their ashram. And B, he wanted different devotees to set different examples. So different devotees setting different examples. In general, we should be detached. Will that always exhibit itself in having a lack of things? That depends. Pundarik Vidyaniti didn't have a lack of things. Ramananda Roy didn't have a lack of things. King Prajaparudra certainly didn't have a lack of things. So that depends. That depends. What's your ashram? What's your varna? What's your duty in society? What's your duty to the movement? What's your particular nature? What's your nature at that time of your life? That depends. So when we talk about what's a person's needs, different people are going to have different needs. Mm-hmm. And that's just different people have different quotas. Different people have different services. Different people have different things that for each of them is required for them to be peaceful. And that's just not the same for everybody. And we have different services. And even among Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, different devotees exhibited different things and had different services, and they just did. Pundarik Vidyaniti showed how you could be perfectly Krishna conscious as a very wealthy householder. And Raghunath Das Goswami, his example of renunciation was so extreme. Practically, I don't know of any other of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates who followed his example.
Yeah.
Even Rupin Sanatan, I don't think we're as extreme as Raghunath Das Goswami. I mean, you read his example and it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. It's
frightening. You know? It's definitely kind of scary. But certainly Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada didn't personally do that. Nor did Prabhupada ask us to do it. He just asked us to take prasadam. And Prabhupada did say the opulent prasadam is for the household. Although sometimes in ISKCON we do the opposite anyway. I'm not going to go there right now. Prabhupada did sometimes say the opulent mahaprasadam should be given to the household. This is a deep topic, but I mean, at least we should say that your needs are going to change over the course of your life, depending on what ashram you're in. Your needs will be different when you're a grahasta and when you're a vanaprastha. They should be. They'll be different according to your varna. What a Brahmin needs is different from what a Vaishya needs. It's different. That's actually what they need. And just a little side point is that Krishna and Rukmini, when they're talking, say that marriages should be on the basis of equality. And Rukmini says that the husband and wife should be equal in renunciation. And I've seen some problems in marriages where one person is a lot more naturally renounced than the other. And each of them think the other one is in Maya. Yeah. Because they have different basic needs. So this comes down to being honest. What kind of nature do I have? Mm-hmm. And some things like ashram changes in life, yes?
One thing, though, it's like, if you're always thinking about what are my needs?
No.
Like,
occasionally.
Okay.
At least 2 or 3 times a year. Two or three times a year.
Thinking about our own needs. Like, if I had this, then I would be peaceful and then I could do my
No,
service.
As I said before, if you are engaged in service according to your nature, those needs will automatically be taken care of. So if the way you ask the question is, what service do I really like to do? What service could I do that would really make me feel alive and really is really enlivening to me? And then what facility do I need to do that service? If you ask those questions, you will automatically be taking care of your needs. Automatically. Absolutely automatically. Because if you pick a service that's in accord with your nature, then naturally doing it will take care of your needs. It just happens naturally and automatically.
But does that seem to contradict your... I mean, I want you to correct me. Maybe
okay.
Your point about how if we... that we shouldn't be if only I had this service, if only I had this facility, then I would be happy in my Krishna consciousness.
Ah, very nice. Okay. So I think of it like a big business. I think of it like this is a company. Krishna is the boss of the company. Now, a good manager wants the employees to work in their area of strength. Does that make sense? If you were running a company and you had a product, we're going to go over time, folks. Is that all right, or are you all freaking out?
No.
Okay, if we got a really late start. If you had a company and you were manufacturing these lovely plastic chairs, okay, and you really wanted to make a lot of money manufacturing these plastic chairs, would you want your employees to be happy?
Yes.
Why? Because happy employees are more productive. There's plenty of research out there that happy employees are more productive. Mm-hmm. Would you like each employee to work in their area of strength or weakness?
Strength.
Why?
Because
well, how would that help? You're just a selfish materialist, okay? You just want to make money. You don't care about your employees. Why do you want them to work in their area of strength?
They'll perform better.
They'll do better. Okay? So if I care about Krishna's business, if a gross, selfish materialist wants employees to be happy and work in their area of strength, certainly Krishna wants that. So I care about Krishna's business. What's our product? We have a product. What's Krishna's product?
Praying.
Krishna's product is to distribute love. And he'd like to see a very big profit. Okay? He wants lots of those love units distributed. And he wants to show a big profit margin, and we're working in his business. So we can go to the boss and we can say, my dear boss, I have an idea how we could increase the profits. This is what I'd like to do to increase the profits. And then the boss can say, yes or no. boss. His business. His profits. His business. But I present it to him. Yeah. My dear Lord, this is how I'd like to serve you. It's up to him. And if he says no, that's okay. If he says, no, I want you to serve in this way, okay, fine. If he says yes, great. But if we want to increase the company profits, we should try to also be serving in a place where we're happy and where we're using our strengths, if we care about the company. And if you're serving in a place where you're happy and you're using your strengths, naturally, all of your psychological and physiological needs will be taken care of. Because you found a match. And if you serve Krishna's business, he'll take care of all your needs also. Does that make some sense? Okay, like we talked about how everyone has a need for beauty. But some people really like to work with beautiful things. That's part of their nature. They have spatial intelligence, they have an eye for harmony and beauty, and they might really love working with flowers or working with fabric or working in the gardens or cleaning things or decorating things. So if they do that service, their natural inclination to be in a beautiful environment will naturally be taken care of. They don't have to do that separately. They don't have to make a separate arrangement for it. Does that make sense? If I'm the kind of person who really, I'm a real social person, if my nature is to be very social and my nature is to be with a lot of people and help a lot of people, and I pick a service where I'm helping a lot of people, my needs for social interaction will be naturally taken care of in my service. I don't have to make an extra endeavor for them. But yeah, every once in a while you should think about, you know, am I really being engaged according to my nature? Is this what I want to do? Is it working out? Again, a good manager meets periodically with the employees and says, you know, how's it going? So every once in a while have a meeting with Krishna. Not to take more than what you require. So Prabhupada says you're punishable. This is what we've just been discussing. Yes? Think about if there's been any time in your life when you were doing something where you felt alive, where you didn't want to go to sleep, where you didn't want to quit, where you didn't want to go to sleep. What kind of thing was that? Were you working with people? Were you working with a task? Was it a big picture task? Was it a very detailed task? What sort of things was it involving? Was it involving ideas? Was it involving management? Was it involving animals and land? Was it involving some sort of objects? Was it involving art? What sort of things did it involve? And sometimes you can only find out what your nature is through proper training, as I gave that example. Sometimes you may think that something's not your nature until you get proper training in that thing. So that's one reason why the beginning schooling is supposed to give you a whole bunch of different exposure to a whole bunch of different things when you're young. Of course, modern schools don't necessarily do this, but the idea is, if you look again at what Krishna and Balaram studied, the idea is that when you're a young child, you're exposed to all different sorts of things and you get training in many different things, and that should help. But I think in general, If I ask everyone in this room, which I'm not going to do now, you know, if you had to choose, are you more a people person or a task person? If you had to choose, are you more an outgoing person or a more reserved person? I'd give you a whole list of things. And you could see and gradually see what kind of things that you tend to like. Yes, I do many. Yes, I do. Okay, so mantra one tells us what to do. What does it tell us to do? It tells us to see everything as Krishna's property. You know, if you're taking care of something that's somebody else's property and you like that person, or they're a powerful person, how do you take care of it? Carefully. Okay. And the second thing it tells us is that we all have our?
Share.
Our share. We all have our quota, and we can only take our quota. We're not allowed to take more than our quota. One way to know what is your quota is what comes to you naturally if you work honestly, according to Shastra. What comes to you naturally if you work honestly, according to Shastra. I'd say start with honest work. Prabhupada says no more than 8 hours a day. Do an honest livelihood, and whatever you get, adjust your lifestyle around that. Instead of first saying, I want to live like this, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to achieve it. And definitely, 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 we should be spending our wealth for Krishna. Prabhupada says, ideally, at least the house owner should spend 50%. That doesn't just mean cash. Wealth is land, buildings, cash, food, so many things. It's not just cash. How much of the rooms in your house is being spent for Krishna? Do you have a temple room? Are you buying flowers for the deity? It also doesn't mean just giving a donation to somebody else. What are you doing with your wealth? Like Kolavitra Sridhar was using half of his wealth to worship the Ganga. So what are you using for your worship at home? Or what are you giving to some project? Your wealth is also your time and your energy. How much of your time and energy are you giving? Should be giving at least half of your general wealth. Okay, so that's quota. Quota, what comes to you naturally by honest labor. You should be using at least half of your time, energy, quota for Krishna. And you should definitely, if there's anything beyond really what you need to be peaceful and satisfied, then you should give charity. One final thing we can say is that many people who give charity on a regular basis say that you give the charity first and then you live on the rest. You don't say, what do I need and what's left over, I give in charity. Because then your needs can always, your needs or your wants always seem to expand. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be given to somebody else. You can be spending part of your charity can also be that you develop your own preaching project. Okay? Prabhupada was taking his wealth and developing his own preaching projects, writing his own books, for example. When he was a householder, he gave to the Gaudiya Math temples, but also he was developing his own projects. Okay, so Mantra 1 tells us what to do, and Mantra 2 tells us how to do it. Mantra 2 says that we can go on living for hundreds of years, and we're not bound to the law of karma if we work that way. So we become free from karmic reaction. And basically, if we control our will materially, we gain real freedom spiritually. This is a general principle. So this is a concept you should all know, and that is of akarma, vikarma, and karma. Have you heard these before?
Yes.
Okay, these are words you should be very, very familiar with. Karma is good, pious work, is what's in the scriptures. Akarma is liberated work, and vikarma is work against the scriptures. So liberated work is everything belongs to Krishna, and I'm trying to use it for his business. So, very nice quote. We're not against having a family or doing charity or doing anything if it's connected with Krishna. Wonderful, wonderful purport in the first canto of Bhagavatam where Prabhupada talks about psychology, sociology, chemistry, physics, and he says if these are used in the service of the Lord, they all become Hari Kirtan. We are not a world-negating movement. Okay? A world-negating movement thinks God is only transcendent. They see the world as evil. They see the world as unconnected with God. We are not a world-negating movement. We see the world as divine. Daivyeshi gunamayi mama maya dracha. This is divine energy. We see, according to Bhagavad Gita 4.24, that if we use material energy properly, it regains its spiritual nature. We're not afraid of using matter in Krishna's service. And nor are we even interested in liberation if we live like that. Even a little bit of Krishna conscious activity will guarantee you a human birth. Even very, very little. Okay? Mantra 3 tells us what happens if we don't do this. So if we don't see everything as God's property, accept our quota, and connect everything with Him, then we enter into the dark worlds. We become a killer of ourself. So if we perform vikarma, at least we should be doing karma yoga, if not bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada talks about that, why are we given better facilities? You know, the birds are taking their bath in a puddle. The animals are just eating food on the ground. We get to grow food and cook it and have a nice shelter. Why is Krishna giving us this greater facility? Because we have greater duties. And this analogy... Oops. I'll go back. That analogy that Prabhupada gives, that the human body is like a boat and the guru is like a captain and Krishna's instructions are like the wind. And if we don't take advantage, then it's like we're killing ourselves. Obviously, you can't kill the soul. Now, obviously, this word perpetually isn't literal. We do not believe in eternal hells. But we're saying that until we come to work in harmony with Krishna, we're going to be suffering. Prabhupada says, if we take up self-realization, our material needs will be provided for. So here's our need for food and our need for friends. Our need for interdependence. Okay, that's it. Questions, comments?
I see the slide again. That was about Ishvasha.
No, but I'll tell you what's on it because I already bopped off. I'm going to go up to Ishvasha. Anybody else have any questions? We want Isha by the Lord and Avasyam owned and controlled? God-centered communism. Okay, tomorrow we'll be doing 4 through 8 and the introduction. 4 through 8 and the introduction. If any of you didn't give me your essays, you're very, very bad students. We're going to tie you upside down from the ceiling.